Hey everyone, and welcome back to the Adopting and Fostering Home Podcast. Wherever you are on your fostering or adopting journey, we're here to provide the resources and tools you need. And I think today's guest will be a great source of encouragement to you. With May being National Foster Care Awareness Month, I just wanted to take the time to highlight some foster families who are walking this journey alongside of you. Now, these are just normal, hardworking families who've been called by the Lord to just put their yes on the table. Today, you're going to hear from a gal. Her name is Rhonda Paulson, and you are going to be amazed at what the Lord has done with she and a husband who was a bit reluctant, and they just stepped into this calling, and the Lord has taken their foster journey way beyond anything they could ever imagine.
Yeah, we started, I guess, officially in 2014, you know, with classes, but all of that came about. Corey says that Sophie and I really, you know, drug him kicking and screaming. You know, we started talking about foster care in our family. We started talking about adoption. We started talking about, you know, this was just the calling of Christians. This was our calling. You know, I say all the time, this was never the state's calling. This was our calling. And so we started talking about that, and Sophie was 110% on board. She was, I guess, 11 when we started talking, and just loved the idea. Mac was 8, and, you know, just an 8-year-old boy, and he was like, yeah, whatever. Corey was very unsure. Corey likes things that are very simple and safe and predictable, and none of this sounded simple or safe or predictable.
Yeah,
so,
right.
I actually asked him on a date, and we ended up at foster care classes. And
I love it.
I do not suggest that your listeners follow my lead. I knew my man, and I knew he needed to hear about the need from someone other than me. And that's what foster care classes did for us. It just made us so aware of a world that we didn't even know about. And it was happening 3 minutes from our house. You know, none of our small group Bible study friends were in the foster care world. None of our exercise buddies, none of our circle of friends, like day in and day out, we had no reason to come face to face with foster care. And so taking those classes, becoming so aware of the need right in our community, you know, Corey said that those classes and God wrecked him, and he couldn't look back. And
yeah, so you just can't unsee any of that, can you? Once you hear it and see it, you just can't. You just change forever.
Yeah, you do. You do. You know, I never understood the whole ignorance is bliss thing until foster care. You know, it was like, I get it now. Like, because once you know, you can't not know. Mm-hmm. And you can't walk away. There's too much.
Wow. So you guys go through the classes. You're absolutely right. You just, once you hear it and see it, you can't walk away from those beautiful souls that the Lord just crosses your path with. But so you guys do the classes, and then your family begins to grow.
Yes. Yeah, so we did the classes, and as part of those classes, we were in a conference room week 7. And that's the day that we found out that when children are removed, they come to an office to sit and wait. And God and I started wrestling in that conference room in 2014. I heard him say, these are my children. What are you going to do? And I really felt like there was absolutely nothing I could do. I was a cheer and dance coach. I had a husband that was somewhat walking this journey with me. You know, I thought for sure he had the wrong girl. And so honestly, we left those classes and we went back home, and it was almost a year before we said yes to our first placement.
Really?
We kept getting calls for sibling groups, and Corey had said, if I'm going to do this, one child, Rhonda, one child. I cannot go from a family of 4 to 7 overnight. Like,
right.
One child, you know. And that was heartbreaking because you've signed up for this and you've said yes, and then you're saying no. But almost a year to the date of when we signed up for foster care classes, on November 5th of 2015, we got a call that there was a 9-month-old little boy that needed a home, and that day will forever have changed our family.
Well, how's that, Rhonda? Like, what was that first moment like when you met your to-be son?
You know, that was the day that I realized for myself that children come into the foster care system. You know, he came in a borrowed outfit, desperately needing a bath, with a roach-infested diaper bag, and that was it.
Wow.
And
you know, that sounds like something that I think a lot of people in the church think, oh, that's in a third world country. That's over the ocean. That's not. It's in our own community, isn't it?
Oh, it's in the office 3 minutes from my home. My nice middle class, you know, suburban home, 3 minutes away. That's where I picked this little boy up with a roach infested diaper bag. And before I left, I made a call to a friend and said, we've said yes to our first placement. Start praying. And she did a lot more than start praying. She started calling everybody in our small group. And by the time we got home, you know, because we had a 12-year-old at this time and a 9-year-old, and we literally had nothing for a newborn. But we had said yes, and so we had a roach-infested diaper bag and a borrowed outfit and a baby that desperately needed a bath. And when we got home, we had people in our guest room setting up a crib. We had people coming with bathtubs and baby wash and outfits and diapers. And for the next 3 days, our community showed up at our door with car seats and meals and everything we needed. And I thought, if Isaiah's mama had had this kind of community, I wouldn't have Isaiah.
Right.
And that's when I realized, you know, we're asking a lot of foster parents. We're asking a lot. We're asking a lot more than just say yes. You know, we're asking for a lot in those first few days. And they were lonely days for our family, because in so many ways, because our family didn't really understand why we were doing this. Ironically and shockingly, our church family, this, you know, 2015, didn't understand why we were doing this. And no one seemed to get it. And I thought, wow, we have got to rally around foster parents. We've got to make sure they have what they need, you know, in those first few days. But then for our family, what was so life-changing was that was probably the most tangible experience of stepping out in obedience, stepping beyond what you know you're capable of, stepping into the messy and the hard, and watching God show up with more joy and more laughter and more energy and joy we didn't know we were missing. And to watch my two younger kids rally and jump in. That's when I knew, like in my being, I knew for real that when God asks you to do something and you say yes, he will show up and equip you for whatever that yes is.
So you really saw the Lord move in your bio kids and your extended family. I shared that same story. I understand what you're saying, but just to be an encouragement, Rhonda, to maybe some families who feel like they are, like you said, stepping into this alone. I can imagine that first night coming home after getting your arms around Isaiah and just knowing his needs, and then those things were tangibly at your home. That had to be a great source of encouragement. But then to move on a week or two down the road and not really feeling understood in the body of Christ, that's hard, isn't it?
It was, you know, and grandparents didn't run over those first few days, you know, and when we went to church on Sunday, people said some really hurtful things. They didn't mean them hurtful, but, you know, just strange things. And because they just were confused. But I really feel like what kept us grounded in those moments is we could feel the presence of God so strong, encouraging us and saying, I'm here, you've got this. And then to watch the grandparents come over that first time and to understand this isn't, I say with air quotes, if you could see me, this isn't a foster child, this is a child. Like, this is a child and this is a baby, and you can't love a baby halfway. Everybody jumps in with their whole heart, you know, and to watch that transformation and to watch them understand that this isn't scary. This is a child, and to watch them start rallying around him and fall head over heels in love with him. And that's what I see within our homes. You know, volunteers come to love on these children and they're so scared and they say, I could never be a foster parent. And then they come and they realize, oh my word, it's a child, mm-hmm. just like my 8-year-old that plays soccer and just mm-hmm. like my 10-year-old and just like my 3-year-old. It's a child that in that moment in time needs you to step in and provide a home and love and encouragement and support. I've watched that time and time again. And that's what I watched with my own family and with my own friends. It just takes it. It like raises that veil, you know, that
right.
And all of a sudden it's like, oh, it's just a child in need. Who wouldn't help a child in need?
Well, you brought Corey such a long way, or the Lord did.
The Lord did. We'll give the Lord the credit.
I love that. And then, so Isaiah joined your family, and then it happened again, I guess.
It did. So Isaiah joined us, yes, in foster care in November of 2015. He was still in foster care in March of 2017.
Wow.
And we got a call that he had a full sibling brother named Eli, 3 weeks old, who'd come into custody. And I hung up that phone and I was crying. And Corey was like, why are you crying? And I was like, well, I begged you for Sophie. And I begged for Mac, and I tricked you into Isaiah. Like, I mean, obviously, you don't want any more babies. And he was like, oh, we're taking that baby.
Oh,
and
I love that. Oh,
he
wow.
called the caseworker back and said, bring him. And so
how encouraging.
Isaiah joined us. Yep. Eli joined us in March of 2017.
And so how old are the boys now?
So they were in foster care. We adopted them in November of 2018. They became Isaiah and Eli Paulson. And January of this year, Isaiah was 6 and Eli turned 4 this past Saturday.
Oh, goodness. And so the adoption was finalized.
It was. It was. And that was very full circle.
Mm-hmm.
I was watching a National Adoption Day special on the Today Show in 2014. And that's when I heard about foster care really for the first time. And that's when I Googled it. And that's when I asked Corey on a date. And and to watch all that in 2014 and then to actually participate in National Adoption Day in November of 2018 was just one of the most full circle moments I think I'll ever experience.
Man, you had an incredible ride those 4 years.
How the Lord
just brought all that to fruition. And we have no idea really what we're stepping into when we put
don't.
Our yes on the table, because it's things we can't control, right? We just have to keep our hands open. And then the Lord begins to change the way we see things and the way, like you said, we relate to these young souls. They're children, just like the children that maybe we gave birth to, you know, that just they need a family and they need support. And I tell you, Rhonda, I say it all the time, but it's the desire of my heart, Lord, that every single child would know the love of a family.
Oh, amen.
Yeah. So yeah. It didn't stop there with you bringing the boys home. So now you're a family of 6. And just when Corey probably thought that things were going to settle down, you got to tell us what you've been up to lately.
Well, yes. I now look back and see God was putting little yeses in front of me.
Mm-hmm.
Preparing me for a very big yes. In January of 2017, I finally said yes to the question he asked me in that conference room in 2014. And I had seen so much. I had learned so much. I knew I couldn't walk away. I knew I couldn't bring home every child.
Right.
But I knew there was more work to be done. And so I was sitting in a coffee shop and I just said, God, I have no idea what you want me to do, but I will do it. And I watched God step up again and just take off. And that same day, I Googled how to start a nonprofit, because I always tell people, if you want God to have the glory, you put someone totally ill-equipped in charge. And so that's how I got my job.
That's my life. Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, we started praying and formed a board, and this dream just took shape of, what if there was a home? What if on removal day, which I had now seen firsthand and learned is the most traumatic day that child will ever walk. Mm-hmm. You know, those outside of foster care, me included, I thought removal day was a day to be celebrated. These children are going to be safe. They're going to get a bath. They're going to get to school every day next week. Yay, removal day. Mm-hmm. But then you see it through their eyes and you realize their entire world just came crumbling down. They've lost mama and they love mama. They've lost their home. They've lost their possessions. They may be losing their siblings. They may be losing their school. They may be losing their teacher. I mean, everything right. comes crumbling down. And that child in that traumatic state goes to an office to sit and wait, where they're making copies and sending faxes and, you know, running around under fluorescent lights. And so we learned about removal day and we thought, what if there was a home? What if that child, instead of going to an office, a cubicle, a conference room, they could go to an actual house with big comfy furniture and warm colors and a full-size bathtub with Elmo bubble bath and bath toys. And if you're a teenager, we'll have shampoo and conditioner and body wash and deodorant and a new bra and new underwear. And what if we could have new clothes and new shoes and new coats and new backpacks and a kitchen full of food and snacks and, you know, and what about those caseworkers? You know, we had learned about the plight of the caseworker.
Oh, it's incredible.
Oh, they work so hard and they truly give it their all. And they're considered the villains all the time. And so what if we could have a workspace for them and, you know, they could come and work on the paperwork. We would love on the child. We'll provide your favorite coffee and your favorite creamer and your favorite snack because we want to love on you. We want to lighten your load. And what if we could ease that transition for future foster parents? What if they could call and say, we've had three children. They've been at the Isaiah 117 house. They've got everything they need for the next 2 to 3 days. And by the way, what do you need? Do you need a car seat? Do you need a twin bed, formula, diapers, wipes? Because we're bringing it because we don't want you to have to run to Walmart. You know, we just want you to say yes. And so that was the dream of what if there was a home that could reduce trauma on the day of removal, lighten the load of caseworkers, and ease that transition for future foster parents. And we were going to call it Isaiah 117 House. And we started in Carter County, Tennessee, just making the community aware of those three things, of removal day, of the plight of the caseworker, and of the need for foster parents and how we could ease that transition. And this little community I live in rallied around that dream. And in less than a year, we had a debt-free home that had been beautifully remodeled for free.
Wow.
Yeah, a fully funded first year's budget in the bank, every closet full, every cabinet full, 40 trained volunteers that had been fingerprinted, background checked, trauma-informed care trained. And we were ready to start serving the children of Carter County, Tennessee. And I get really like, overwhelmed, emotional, and have to laugh that I thought there was going to be one house.
Of course you did.
A house. But I always say, you know, isn't it like God to first of all make a model that's crazy effective, and also make a model that's super easy to replicate. And so before we knew it, we had 5 open homes in the Northeast region of Tennessee and 1 in Indiana. And actually a year ago today, this is our anniversary.
Oh, wow.
Mike Rowe, Dirty Jobs.
Yes.
Mike Rowe.
Yes.
Visited our Carter County home and filmed an episode of his Facebook show, Returning the Favor. And it aired 1 year ago today. And since the airing of that show, 35 states have reached out and 2 countries. We will have 11 open homes in the next 6 months. We have 10 more expansions going on. We just kicked off in Virginia. We're kicking off in Florida next week, and we're kicking off in Texas this summer. God is building houses for children that he's never forgotten.
Oh.
And of course, he wouldn't do that just in Tennessee.
That's right.
He's got to go big.
That's right. That is right. I was just talking to a gal in our own state who's just gotten a passion for this too because of your testimony, because of the journey that you're just, like you said, you made it simple and you're laying out for others, and I'm watching them walk this path as well. You know, Jesus told us in Luke 12 to be ready for service and have our lamps lit. You remember that parable that Jesus
yes.
taught? And when I was reading that this week, your picture of your family just kept coming to mind, because he just begins to do a work in our life that we think is a small step. But it's a small step of obedience. You know, you mm-hmm. said yes mm-hmm. to opening your home. We have no idea what the Lord is doing.
This journey, I say this almost every day of my life, has taught me God is so much bigger than I've ever given him credit for. He is so much bigger than we can ever wrap our minds around. And to watch him work this puzzle, not only for the children in these communities, not only for the caseworkers, not only for the foster parents, but for every single person that's involved, every builder, every volunteer, to watch him work this puzzle. And that's just one tiny piece of the redemption that he is doing every day. He's so much bigger than I've ever given him credit for.
Yeah. And, you know, we want to stop him. We don't want to, you know, we get afraid and we let our fear hold us back. And we want to say, Lord, it's just too much. You know, I'm just getting older. This is too much for me. But, man, let's go down together, Rhonda, keep fighting for children.
Amen.
I love that. So I have listeners who maybe want to jump in this. Can you just give us a little guidance? Anything else you can share with us to keep us moving forward in this calling?
You know, I can't get over, these are the things that always go through my mind. Number one, I will never understand why the creator of the universe wants us to be part of his work. He doesn't mm-hmm. need us, but he wants us. And so he's always inviting us in. And so if you're listening and you think, well, God's never spoken to me. Yes, he has. Like mm-hmm. he is speaking to all of us all the time. And this world is trying to block him out, but all the time, through his word, through prayer, through an interaction with a person, through a thought that won't leave your gut or your heart or your head. Like he is constantly inviting us in. And so he's inviting you into something right now where you are. And then he invites us in. And then when we say yes, he shows up and fully equips us for whatever we just said yes for. Like, we are so afraid to say yes because I can't do this. No, you can't. That's why he's inviting
That's
you
right.
in.
That's the point. You can't do it.
Yes, you can't. And so to say yes and watch him then show up with everything you need, you would think that would be enough. That number one, the creator has invited you in, then he fully equips you. But then he literally turns around and blesses you for saying yes. Mm-hmm. Like, he blesses you in ways you never saw coming, can never imagine. Like, the fact that we are now, that the parents of Isaiah and Eli, we can't imagine our life without them. Mm. Like, he blessed us. He blessed that one yes, and he blesses it over and over again when I get to watch them grow and become these amazing little creatures. You know, like, that's what I want to encourage people with. He is inviting you in. Say yes. He will equip you. And then the craziest part, he will bless you for it.
Oh,
like,
I know.
That's what I want them to know.
The heart of God. He goes way above and beyond anything that we could imagine. But just the blessings that he brings in. And there are hard journeys. That's why I keep doing this podcast over and over. Just so I don't want people to feel isolated and alone in this calling. But then to hear stories of your family, Rhonda, to hear what the Lord is doing, to hear how he wants to move in our lives until he returns for us. Wow. We've got to keep getting these stories out there and showing how the Lord wants to move way beyond anything that we could imagine.
Yes, yes. And so thank you. Thank you, because I do know that foster care, I tell people, it's a roller coaster with mm-hmm. the highest highs and the lowest lows
yep.
and it turns you didn't see coming. But one thing my husband has always said, you know, so many times when you say something about foster care, people say, I could never do that.
Mm-hmm.
I could never let them go back home. I could never. And Corey always says the same thing. It's not about us.
Right.
And it's never supposed to be about us. And if we can actually step outside ourselves and into the calling that God has called us to, there's so much joy there that it will outweigh the pain.
Mm-hmm.
And it truly does. It doesn't mean there won't be pain. It does not mean there will not be pain. but the joy will outweigh the sorrow because there is joy in obedience to the Lord.
Oh, amen. Oh, that's a great place to end, Rhonda. And I know that you and Corey never could have imagined, would you say, 35 states and two other countries that are stepping into beginning Isaiah 117 homes for misplaced children?
Yes. Yes. No, we never could have imagined.
Yeah. No. Yes. Well, we're going to add more information in our show notes about you and what the Lord's continuing to do and how others can get involved.
Thank you so much. Thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure.
Thank you, Rhonda. And we look forward to seeing how this continues to grow. And just thank you for sharing your journey with us. You guys are a blessing.
Well, it was a blessing to be here today, so thanks again.
I really appreciate you joining me today on the Adopting and Fostering Home podcast, which is a ministry of Sin Relief. If you enjoyed today's episode, share it with a friend, and you can find more information and subscribe at sinrelief.org. Thanks for listening and making us a part of your adoption and foster care journey.
The world tells us our differences should divide us, but the gospel, it has a different story. Our mission, our calling, His command, is a mission that unites every Christ follower in a way that stands out, a way that doesn't make sense to the world. Join us June 13th and 14th at Send Conference to be refreshed and celebrate the church together on mission. A free event hosted by the International Mission Board and North American Mission Board of the Southern Baptist Convention. Learn more at sendconference.com.